The Right Stand with Anand Narasimhan.
Hello and welcome to the Right Stand podcast. And the focus continues to remain on the state of Maharashtra, where a pre-poll alliance is currently in the midst of a stare down. It's boiled down to an ego battle. And of course, now, 15 days later, and counting down to the end of the term of the House, it's about who's going to blink first. The unfortunate situation that despite having a clear mandate from the people of Maharashtra, the people are nowhere seeing a government in sight. It all started with Uddhav Thackeray's press conference soon after the results, where he came out and talked about a 50-50 share or a 50-50 agreement. This was the first time that 50-50 was being talked about. Somewhere, the hint was that this decision was made before the Lok Sabha elections and the seat sharing of 50-50 during the Lok Sabha elections would translate, and perhaps that was the implication, that was what was implied, into the assembly elections or the Vidhan Sabha elections. But what happened was that the BJP contested in 164 seats along with all of its smaller allies and the smaller parties in the state who also contested under the BJP emblem or the BJP flag. And the Shiv Sena contested in about 124 seats. There itself, the 50-50 was done away with. So what is the 50-50 that Uddhav Thackeray was talking about? In subsequent press conferences and, of course, speeches and statements given by the Shiv Sena, be it Sanjay Raut or Uddhav Thackeray himself or other leaders, one gathers that it was about survival. It was about something that they needed to do for the party now, for the party to stay on and remain relevant as far as the scheme of Maharashtra politics is concerned. Because election after election and year after year, and over the last two decades, the Shiv Sena has degrown. It has not grown beyond the 79 seats that it won at one point in time. It has never crossed the 80-seat mark. And ironically, the BJP remains the only party to cross the 100 mark in Maharashtra twice, despite at one point in time being a number four. The other aspect is that Devendra Fadnavis remains the only chief minister in Maharashtra to complete a full term and to also come back with a mandate to lead a second term. It's the case of survival. It's a case of do or die as far as the Shiv Sena is concerned, and it boils down to that. It is about trying to massage the big Shiv Sena ego and their braggadocio. This continues as a DNA, as part of the Shiv Sena's DNA from Balasaheb Thackeray's days, where he would always make a mountain of a molehill, and that projection was what allowed the Shiv Sena to be perceived as a game changer, as a remote control, as a force to reckon with. Yes, they can flex their muscle. Yes, they can make an impact. And yes, they do hold sway. But their area of influence is very, very limited. The BJP understands this. But to understand what's going on right now and why this impasse, despite a pre-poll alliance, has not been resolved, one has to look at the other dynamics too. So an Aditya Thackeray, a third-generation Thackeray, enters the poll fray. So it is a matter of do or die. It's a matter of survival for Uddhav Thackeray and the Shiv Sena. But did the BJP not know that? Of course they did. Why is it that Uddhav Thackeray allowed his son or the BJP and Shiv Sena ensured that Aditya Thackeray virtually entered the poll fray where there would be no contest? The sitting MLA, the strongman of Worli, Sachin Bhawair, makes a transition from the NCP to the Shiv Sena ahead of the polls and quite literally hands the seat of Worli on a platter to the Shiv Sena. And that's exactly what happened. It was a runaway win for Aditya Thackeray there. So the BJP clearly knew what the Shiv Sena was expecting. But why were these expectations not managed? Is there an internal power struggle or a tussle within the BJP itself as to who should be the BJP's face for the chief ministerial candidate? And has that allowed situations to go from bad to worse, or the entire scenario to deteriorate, that now it's become a face-off or a stare-down? And the question is, who's going to blink first? At this point, it is the BJP which has a stronger base. In the past, when the BJP and the Shiv Sena contested on their own and Devendra Fadnavis sought a floor test despite being a minority, it was the NCP that bailed them out and then the Shiv Sena got on board. This time around too, the BJP believes that despite being in minority, they will be in a situation where before the House gathers, assembles and there is a floor test, they will A, be able to bring the Sena on board, B, be able to convince some of the others who have decided to sit in the opposition to abstain or lend support. Amidst all this stands a possibility of the Sena walking out of the NDA joining hands with the NCP with outside support or issue-based support from the Congress party and form a minority government like the situation in Karnataka. But that is going to be very, very unhealthy, and that government will not last more than 6 months, especially in a state like Maharashtra, where there are too many massive egos across all political parties, and you have regional satraps and regional leaders who are either former chief ministers, former central ministers, and of course the doyen of who stands above them all as far as Maharashtra politics is concerned, in Sharad Pawar. It comes out to be a very, very interesting dynamic, but who will blink first remains the question that we'll focus on the Right Stand tonight at 8 p.m. At 8:45, we move to the deceit by Pakistan as far as Kartarpur is concerned. Imran Khan coming out and saying no passport is required, but memorandum of understanding being quoted by the Pakistani army saying that you will have to carry a travel document that is a passport. It will not be stamped, because most of the pilgrims, and this is the outright ultimate insult to Pakistan, did not want a Pakistani stamp on their passport with the fear of being denied visas in certain critical countries, including the United States. And that is something Pakistan has agreed, that as long as you hold a passport, we will not stamp it, but we will surely check it. But why this confusion? Why the denial of an advanced security team to look at the security measures ahead of a former prime minister and, of course, a sitting chief minister of a state being part of the first Jatha? The problems and the blackmail, attempted blackmail by Navjot Singh Sidhu, who continues to remain a thorn in the flesh, sticks out like a sore thumb and remains an embarrassment not just to the Congress party, but also to the country, given this position as far as Kartarpur and India and Pakistan are concerned. Plus, there are other aspects too, where Pakistan's deceit in their not sharing the final list of approved list, despite less than 48 hours to go before the Jatha embarks upon on Saturday towards Kartarpur from the Indian side, is also something which is relevant. Will there be last moment rejections of critical names or big names as part of the first Jatha? Is that going to be again a problem? Why play this kind of politics, and of course the shadow of terror and secessionism as far as Khalistan is concerned, with a matter of faith and Astha for the Sikhs? That's the question we'll try and dwell on between 8:45 and 9:20 p.m. tonight on The Right Stand. I'll see you there. Bye for now.
The Right Stand with Anand Narasimhan.